In the name of our shining epiphany, Lord, God's own Son, dear shining Christians to whom the Lord also says, you are the light of the world. Have you read any good books lately? You know, Solomon said, as to the writing of many books, there is no end. Some predicted there would be an end of it, you know, in the digital age. Now we just make them digital as well. And publishers know they can charge as much for the digital edition as they do for the print edition. Got to make the money somewhere. And there's the second half of that verse from Ecclesiastes where Solomon also said, much study brings much weariness to the body. That may be why more of us don't do more reading. If I try to read at night, I'm a lost cause. You know, you're supposed to work during the day. Some of us get paid for reading during the day, which is a tremendous blessing, but there's always so much more. So many more books to read, so much. But you know, and many of you have told me this and you've reflected on it, that there are certain books that are written so well that they give you a respite from reality for a time, and it's not, you know, the page turners. It's not really work to read them if you just have that time, that enjoyment. And then there are some books that are so uplifting and so encouraging because the message is solidly based on the book of books, 66 books in the book of books, God's book, inspired by God the Holy Spirit over at least 1,600 years, if not more like 2,200 or 2,300 on three continents and three different languages and 40 different human penmen as the Lord inspired through them the exact words he wanted them to write in Hebrew of the Old Testament and Greek of the New and some Aramaic in there too. It was just awesome. So there's a new book out by one of my favorite authors, and you've heard me in Bible class. I mentioned him again this morning. It's going to be in two-part series. Right now it's following a little bit where we are in Epiphany and into the church year, and it's written by retired professor Daniel Deutschlander. He wrote The Theology of the Cross. But this is a book that's based on the premise, what if, it's a new look at, you know, the stories that we're so familiar with, what if God took advice from us? Now that's a new way of looking at the old familiar stories. I'd get the book, in fact I did this past week, as soon as I found out about it, I'll get the other one too. Just wonderful blessings to get in and look at it at that direction. And of course, you know Professor Deutschlander is going to get you to the point where he says, thank God he doesn't take advice from us. You know, you can find the information in the written copy of the sermon on the internet or on the table outside the doors there for more information how to order that. But if God did take advice from us, what a mess. And what a blessing we're going to see as we look at this familiar story of our Lord Jesus from that standpoint. Thank God he didn't take advice, doesn't need it, won't listen when human beings try to tell God what to do. And we're like that too, every last one of us, this arrogance. For that reason, there is a beautiful answer to the question before us today. Heard any good news lately? Any good news lately? First of all, he walks among us. He walks among us, and you may not even realize how awesome this is that it says, John was put in prison, and Jesus went to Galilee, walking among us. You'd have to kind of imagine that Jesus is thinking seriously about whether he really wants to go up to Galilee or not, because if he goes up to Galilee, there's a ruler up there named Herod, and we all know Herod, evil King Herod. King Herod was the one grandson, several, that ruled after Herod the Great, who was not so great because he murdered all the baby boys in Bethlehem. And this Herod is the one who took an oath at a drunken party and said, John the Baptist's head? We can do that. John the Baptist was beheaded in prison by this Herod who still ruled up in Galilee, and Jesus goes up there. Now, you've got to be amazed at that. Because if you and I were giving advice to God, don't go up there, Jesus. That's where Herod is. He goes. Because he's the Son of God, he's got a job to do, and he comes preaching the gospel of social justice and equality. Right? He goes up there, and with his power, he puts those politicians and those kings in their place. He tells them how they ought to be ruling for the good of the people and use that money for the poor and take care of everybody. Right? He's got the message of social justice, right? Because that's what awful lot of seminaries and Christians in America would be telling God he's supposed to do. That's what they're telling their preachers they're supposed to do. And if the preachers don't, they don't want to be there. Not what Jesus did. God's Son does not need advice from us then or now. He went there preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Well, that's okay. We can preach that gospel too. Because if you put enough in the collection plate, you're going to be wealthy. You can just send in your letters with prayers, and you can exactly put right on the line there how much money you want, what job you want. We'll take it to the Lord in prayer, and if you believe strong enough, you're going to get everything you ask for. Right? No. That would be advice from us and an awful lot of the prosperity preachers out there that tell people what they want to hear. Here's how you make your life better. Let me give you another list of 5, 10, or 20 things. See if you can remember all these ways to make your life better. Jesus comes preaching, the kingdom of God is near and the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God, Jesus told that Pontius Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Oh boy. That puts an awful lot of Christians in trouble because they're either premillennial or aftermillennial, rapturists and all this stuff, and they want Jesus to put up so you don't get left behind. That old story, whole series of books, that would be the message, right? Wrong. Not that either. My kingdom is not of this world. So quit trying to dream up some way to have your heaven on earth. There was an angel, actually cherubim and one fiery sword, at the mouth of paradise when God kicked Adam and Eve out so they wouldn't be stuck in their sin for all eternity. No way in, no heaven on earth. Only through the one who came and said, the time is fulfilled. Now is the time when God has determined. Whether the world thinks so, or this is the right time, or wants to write it up that way. No, the kingdom of God has come near. You know how awesome that is when you feel sad, right, Dave? You know what I'm talking about, right? And God does not wait for us to come to him. I remember the day in the spring of 1987, like it was yesterday. God comes to us. He gives us faithful parents and grandparents or Christian friends, and that may be you kids with your friends in your neighborhood. God comes to us as Jesus came then. He walks among us still to this day. The time is fulfilled. Here's the word, and this is what I love about this word of the good news, the gospel. Gospel is an old English word that means good news. What it commands, it gives. Everything that the gospel tells you to do is right there empowered in the gospel itself. The Lord says, repent. That means change your mind, change your heart about who you are, about the world around you, about everything. And in that word, repent is the power to do it. The kindness and love of God that brings repentance, a change of heart. So this arrogant attitude that's inside all of us, this, you know, listen to me, God, I've got the idea for you. I mean, some people say if you really want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Have you heard that one before? Well, who of us doesn't? And how do you balance this as a child of God when he says, pray, ask anything. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. How do you balance that? You balance that with the gospel of thy will be done, Lord, and if it's not for my eternal good, please don't give it to me. And if you've got a better idea, thy will be done means you do it your way. And God doesn't need advice from us. And that's truly good news, because when he says repent, he also says believe the gospel. And in the gospel, that good news is the power to make you believe. We announce it. My dear Christian friends, you sometimes act and you ask questions like, Pastor, what would you say if? So books have been written about if somebody says this, then you answer that. If someone says this, then you answer that. How do you remember all that stuff? You don't need to. You announce the gospel. You don't need the latest arguments or the rational ways to break down all their arguments. You don't need that. This is the same good news that broke through your stubborn heart and mine and makes you want to hear the word of the Lord that says, he sent his son as he promised. We have a Savior. Our guilt is gone. Heaven is wide open. The angel guards the gate no more. To God our thanks we pay. We don't want to give advice to God, but we sure do it sometimes, don't we? Aren't you glad that God walks among us in spite of us sometime? Oh boy, that first scripture lesson there. For four short chapters in Jonah, there sure is a lot there. Quick read, I'd encourage you to find Jonah in the Old Testament today and just read it. Because the first time the Lord said, go to Nineveh, Jonah went the other way. He hated those Ninevites. You know, they were terrible, terrible people. Some of the cruelest people who ever lived. You can read it in the Bible. It does not mince any words on cruel, gross, disgusting stories. It just puts it all out there. And Jonah ran the other way. There's a shipwreck, big storm. He's sinking down into, you know, the depths of the sea. The huge fish actually rescued him. So that 3 days later, he could become fish vomit on the shoreline. That's what I said, kids. Jonah was vomited up on the shoreline. Need I say it again? That was the rescue. And the second time when the Lord came and said, go to Nineveh, this time Jonah went, but very reluctantly. He still did not like going. He still did not want to preach to them. And you can tell because when the Ninevites repented, the most unlikely people to ever repent and turn to the Lord, Jonah's mad. The whole book ends with Jonah being mad. We talked about that in evangelism, our team meeting this week, and how isn't that comforting to think that the most reluctant, rebellious prophet who didn't want to preach the message was still blessed in spite of himself with the least likely of people. Can we not be confident that the Lord will bless our feeble efforts to spread his word in our families, in our neighborhoods, so that the light of Christ can shine on us and reflect off us and through us to those around us? God, let your kingdom come to us and through us. He walks among us because he walks in you. And you are the light of the world. Don't feel like it. Need light yourself so you get advice from God and not the other way around? Sure. But he walks among us. Any good news lately? How about this one? He sends us fishing. Ah, there we have it. All the Minnesota boys and girls all brighten up. Yes, that would be wonderful. And let me give some advice to God about how I would like to go fishing. I want a really warm, well-appointed ice fishing house if I'm going out there. Some of you laugh because I'm an Oregon boy where the water never froze like that, and I would never drive a car on a frozen lake, and I think it's insane. I just put that out there. But if I was going to do it, there would be a deck. I don't know how much fishing I'd get done because I would just, you know, enjoy. And I would want also God to make sure that lake belonged to me. so I could have it to myself and not have all those noisy snowmobiles out there and then the jet skis in the summertime. I want a quiet lake where I can invite my friends. We can fish all seasons of the year. Now that would be my advice to God. And God says, nope. Not how it's going to be. Not for these guys either. I have in my hand what's called a harmony of the Gospels. One column is Matthew, then Mark, then Luke. You can do this with John as well. Computers are great for this. You can just cut and paste. Mark is giving us some information about Jesus coming after John went into prison. Luke gives us the in-between story. We've actually heard up to this point that Jesus was preaching in Jerusalem, ran into opposition in Judea, goes up to Galilee, but he's already called these guys. Peter and Andrew, James and John were actually disciples of John the Baptist, who told them, you follow Christ now, that's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So they had actually already been called by Jesus, and this is another calling. Just to keep that in line. Where Mark tells us that Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, saw Simon and his brother Andrew, Luke tells us what happened next. And some of you know this story. Because they had been fishing all night, and Peter did not like being told to put out and let his nets down into the deep, because he's a real fisherman. And who is this rabbi, you know? Tell me how to fish. All right, master, but you said it. I'll do it. They do it. And they have such a huge catch of fish that one boat won't hold it all. They have to call James and John over, their partners with another boat, and both boats are sinking because there's so many fish. And Peter is just put out about this. He's in the holiness and power presence of God. And he prays something that sounds foolish now, but I bet you felt this way too. Peter says, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. You sometimes get such an awesome blessing from God that you feel guilty. I don't know if it's Northern European stuff or my family, but I've heard this from other people too. You know, you admire, like one guy, I said how much I admired his boat. This is years and years ago. And he started telling me about how he got it. It's like he felt guilty about having this boat. I said, it's a blessing from God. Enjoy it. But you get a blessing, you feel guilty sometimes. Here's Peter. Huge catch of fish, two boatloads. Get away from me, Lord. And Jesus says, no. It's like, don't give me advice, Peter. You don't get to do that. I got a better plan. Here's what Jesus said to Peter. Don't be afraid. That's how he introduces the gospel. Then he says, from now on, you will catch men. Then Mark picks it up again. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. They left their nets. Peter and Andrew followed him. And then Mark goes on to say that he goes down a little farther and finds James and John. This is where there's a word in the Greek New Testament, the original, katartizo. They don't know how to translate it. If you were following along in the NIV, it says they were preparing their nets. The ESV translates they were mending their nets. It's the same word. And a fisherman who just came in from a huge catch of fish has to mend his net in preparation for going out again. And this is the word that's right between there. We, you know, struggle to translate, but I think it's a better translation to just say they were mending their nets because they're going out again, but first, they just had a catch of fish to take care of. Without delay, he called them too. They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. That's total commitment. Or is that craziness? Would you have to advise God, don't tell me to leave everything behind because there's some stuff I really need and I really like. Does God give this command to everybody? We're supposed to all go on mission trips the world over and leave everything behind to go off on mission trips? Careful. There are some who will tell you that and lay that on your conscience. Watch out who Jesus is talking to. Understand the command that he's given. He doesn't tell all of us to go to the far side of the world. He told them, come follow me. He says, come follow me. But there are other principles in Scripture like pay your taxes, take care of your family, take care of the Lord's work through the church and so forth. Those are all commands of God. He even talks about using the blessings that God gives you for your enjoyment. That would be things like fishing, the kind that you might like to do. But God's advice, God's command is come follow Jesus and give it all up in your heart of hearts. And sometimes he'll test us in that so that something that you really enjoyed and liked, like maybe your health or a relationship, family, friends, the Lord will sometimes take those things away and see if you really mean it when you say, Jesus, lead on and I will follow you. There is a commitment factor in there, and he does want total commitment. But that's a miracle that he works in our hearts, not by the advice that we give, but by the grace that he pours out on us, as he had been doing to Peter and Andrew, James and John, and has done for us as well. Any good news lately? You're hearing it again today in the grace of Jesus Christ for you, but there's more to that question. Any good news lately that you have told? Pastor, that scares me. I don't know. I could ask for a show of hands. Last week, how many talked about the big game last Sunday? Okay, some are willing to admit it. Some will scratch their head, and then I'll call on you anyway. Careful. You know me in sports. Boring to me, okay. Played sports, boring to watch. I like to watch it with my son because he's a sports writer. Then it's interesting. He tells me all the backstories. You know where I heard about last Sunday's game? Somebody from Tennessee. Computer tech. Needed help Sunday evening. Hey, did you see the end of that game? You better tell me because I got Minnesota friends. They're going to be asking me about this. I probably shouldn't sound too ignorant. That's where I heard. And then more the next day. But I'm just saying, how hard is it to talk about something that's interesting like that? You just open up. God help us. God open our minds and hearts to see that this world in its present form is passing away and we are just passing through. Don't hang on to the things of the world and be so engrossed by them that when the Lord does say, leave it behind, and I'm preaching this now, God help me to do this in my heart of hearts. Because it comes out of this mouth quite easily. But on those days when it's just not working out the way you want it to, and you got to make those adjustments for the sake of souls and his kingdom and his will and his righteousness, don't you just have to get down on your knees sometimes and say, God, forgive me again. Here I am wanting to give advice to God. Thank you, God, that you don't take advice from me, or there would be no salvation for anybody and not for me either. Thank you, God, that you as my Father in heaven looking down on all of this and seeing how it goes, you know the end from the beginning, and you can plan and carry out those plans in magnificent ways that put me to shame because sometimes I walk into a room and I can't remember why I walked in there. And that's been happening since I was really young. Any good news lately? You heard it. Now the Lord says, open your mouth and I will fill it. And do not fear what they fear, but in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. Ah, we have work to do. We are the fish, messy as we are, and we had fishermen come to us and catch us, and now he turns us loose as fishermen. Don't expect it to be clean and wonderful. It's messy. You catch him, he'll clean him. Amen.